The following program is intended for mature audiences.
What do you say we have a rock and roll party?
All right.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And download every episode and more at basicallyasportsshow.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
The absolute worst, because they are incompetent.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Incompetent!
Guys, we've been doing this show going on 5 years now. Some weeks are tough to come up with something to talk about, and then sometimes you have that thing that just falls right out of the sky like it came straight from heaven.
Sometimes God just says, here you go.
Let's cut the guys on bass a break here and see what we can't come up with. And today is one of those days.
Oh, so perfect.
Oh, my
that
God.
That could be a post. Couldn't you see that as a post?
Oh, God, yes. I have it queued up here, so I'll just say this happened today.
The tragedy is the absolute worst. I'm not going to get to my game now because they are incompetent. Incompetent. They tell Track H, and he's saying, no, this train's not wrong. The announcement was wrong.
For those that are wondering, that is our friend of the show, good buddy, Tank, having a complete meltdown, I'm assuming at one of the subway stations in either New Jersey or New York City, because, God forbid,
New Jersey.
Yeah. Train derailed and made him late to the Mets home opener today.
The headline on the actual NBC New York website is, commuters, Mets fans face travel nightmare after New Jersey transit derailment. It was the second derailment at Penn Station in 11 days, so that's not good. Height of the morning rush left at least four people with minor injuries and prompted a total shutdown of NJ transit service in and out of the Manhattan hub for more than 2 hours.
As people are wont to do on the internet, when something is posted somewhere, they like to comment. Yes! And, of course, this is a Facebook post from, I believe, Channel 4 in New York. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten
NBC New York.
NBC New York. 542 shares already it's gotten, 716 likes, and a few comments. I thought if you guys didn't mind, I would read a couple.
Oh, yeah, sure. Go for it.
This comes from Carlos Fernandez. In the time it took to have this outburst, he could have went to Hoboken and got the PATH train to 33rd and hooked up with the 7 train in the city, one stop away at 5th Avenue, Bryant Park, just saying it was possible. Yeah! Okay, fair enough.
There's plenty of transit in and around the New York area.
I would think so, too. You could take a cab if you had to, whatever. But, yeah, I know that we couldn't go without commenting on this at least a little bit.
There's a lot going on in the video that just... As Mike would know, in a Star Wars minute type fashion, You could break this thing down and just like look at the people in the background and like go about all the details that are going on. It's just it's very dense, there's
so much going on.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm a little bummed out about is that I only found out about this about 10 minutes before we went on the air. I haven't had time to go to YouTube and look up the other versions of it that people were taping, I'm certain, in the background as he was doing this. So we might get even more of it from different angles, longer versions of it, maybe the entire bit, which will just, of course, only add to the legend.
Oh, yeah. Like, if we could get, like, multiple camera angles and just sort of play them at once, you know, in separate windows, I think that would, like, really go CSI on this.
Is this everything you had ever wanted from a real-life Tank sighting?
We had often talked about over the years on the boards, on the show, Tank sightings. I think this sums him up perfectly, doesn't it?
It's a rant.
It's a little misguided, yeah. A little misplaced. It's got the Mets.
A bit out of proportion, you know.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
This could have been a post. Perfectly.
People that listen to the show, what do you think the odds are that I'm going to cut this up and use parts of it as drops for the rest of our lives, basically? Do you think they're incompetent is going to make the show?
We talk about like a team making like a dumb personnel move or something, like there you go.
Let me tell you how I think you guys understand. I heard they're incompetent. first thought, every time we mention Gary Bettman, that's going to get played.
We'll get some use out of that today.
Yeah, yeah. We've got some Gary Bettman news to cover. And you know what? Tank even kind of sounds like Gary Bettman. Kind of.
I don't know. Poor old Tank. I know you listen, dude. And, you know, like I said, we love you, but wow. Granted, it's opening day. I understand that. And I understand you were going to be late. But like the guy said, you're a lifelong New Jersey, New Yorker. You should have known more than one way to get to that stadium from there.
I've said on multiple occasions on the show that in terms of like my all-time favorite sports teams, the Blue Jays just edge out the Maple Leafs. I watched WrestleMania instead of opening day.
Yesterday's not opening day.
Yesterday, I hate that they're doing that.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
There were a couple shows. There were a couple games on last
Yeah, but
night.
Today is opening
three
day.
Games, right? Yeah.
Today is opening day. Yesterday is just the season starting early. Today is opening, capital O, capital D, opening day.
Yesterday was just the day when the season officially opened, but today is opening day.
No, yesterday was ESPN day because they have the Sunday Night Baseball package, and because... As we've seen in television, and the NFL is a perfect example of this, if one Sunday night game the day before the season officially starts is good, then three must be even better, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're getting here.
Because, I mean, the three games, Rays, Yankees, Giants, Diamondbacks, whatever. And, like, the other thing that, like, just kind of floored me, too, is, like, you get the Cubs in the Sunday night opener, and they're not playing it at Wrigley, and they're not raising the banner, and they're not like getting the rings. That's something that the whole country would like to see, I think.
I know they're doing the when banner is, first, like, and then the ring second for the first two home games.
Right.
I don't know what days those fall on, so we may get an ESPN game for that. But odds are, if you want to see that, you're going to either have to have the MLB TV package or be in the Chicago market. And I think that's a shame because it's 108 years. I would love to see it, even though they beat my team to do it. I think it would be great to watch.
Actually, their home opener is on ESPN.
Okay,
it's
good.
Monday against the Dodgers.
Okay, and then month. They'll have a day off. And then, so we might get both. We might get the rings and the banner. I'd like to go back to opening day for a minute. Mm. Something uniform related, if you guys want to talk about it real quick. The Phil Heckins, the Paul Lucases, and dare I say it, the Kris Kremers of the world. Yeah. Having a real problem with the new era logo being on the side of the game caps this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
hashtag logo creep.
It doesn't bother me in the least. I'm thinking maybe because I have a lot of the 3930 hats, which already had the logo in that exact same spot. So it doesn't seem like any big change to me. But I wonder what you guys thought about it. Is it that big a deal to you that the new era logo has found its way to the left side of the ball caps now?
I haven't even noticed.
Okay.
And because yeah, like you said, it's on the side of every other hat that I own.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't even think I'd pay half a notice to it.
I'm in the same camp. Look, I get it if like older guys have a problem with it, but as long as I've been paying attention to sports, manufacturer logos have been on gameware. So
right. Yeah.
You know.
That's the other part is like. All the jerseys have Majestic on the arm sleeve forever, right?
Yeah.
And every uniform in every other sport has the stuff on there. So it's that little stuff like that. I don't think any of us notice anymore.
Okay. I was just curious because on Twitter, I've been seeing a lot of it. On Facebook, I've been seeing a lot of talk about it, that the new era logo. And they're showing ways to get rid of it if you don't want it and all that. And I thought, I don't see the problem here, but I thought I'm not one to really care about little trivial things like that. So I thought I'd ask you guys to see where you're at.
Now that you've mentioned it to me and I just flipped over to a baseball game to actually like look at it, it does. The only reason I know it, I see it is because I'm looking for it. But seeing it on there makes me think, oh, yeah. When they didn't have it on there, that was more like, this is the on-field official thing. Now it does kind of look like they just grabbed a hat from the team store. Like somebody left their hat. People other than logo people, the uniform people, aren't going to notice.
Yeah.
And really, even as you just saw, like, when you asked the both of us, before I looked at the game, I said, whatever. And then when I look at it, it's like, okay, well, now I see it.
Like I said, I'm used to it with my 3930, so maybe it just didn't seem like anything but a natural progression to me.
Yeah, natural progression. And if anything, you know, people are always like, well, we want to get what the players are wearing on the field.
Right.
Now you're going to get what they're wearing on the field. You know, you don't have to.
Well, you know, I mean,
or anything like that.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just what they call a brandy. But I always wanted the, like we talked about starter jackets last week. I wanted a starter jacket with the S and the star on there because that meant that I had the best jacket you could get. When I got a jersey, like when Nike was a supplier, I didn't want some broke ass jersey. I wanted the swoosh. I want whatever makes it legitimate. Oh, yeah. So to me, that's why
there's a difference between buying Levi's and you know, any generic jean brand that doesn't have like a patch on it.
Okay, cool. That's what I was wondering. The answer is that. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll see you next week.
Well, at one last baseball, I guess, identity thing. The Colorado Rockies may have introduced a new logo without telling anyone. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it. There you go.
Let's see.
It's not on the uniforms, but they've been using it on social media.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I'm going to say I really dig it. I like that.
Now, let me ask, are the scribbles going to be part of it?
Well, I honestly don't know, but I hope they are because that's actually part of why I like it.
Using the scribbles, whatever you would call those lines, it's cool in this sort of application or say on a t-shirt or whatever, but I would never want to see that say, well, you know what? Really, where else would you see it though? And maybe like a sleeve patch or something, but I dig it. Yeah, I like it a lot. The lines I could do with that, like say if they made a sleeve patch out of it, I wouldn't want to see the lines there. But other than that, I'm with you. I like it too. Looks a lot, and you can really get a good comparison in the picture because you've got the shoulder or the sleeve patch with the current logo. That thing looks way better, more streamlined, a lot cleaner. I like it.
I can live with that.
To me, it's really fitting because it kind of looks like something you'd see as like the logo for like a ski resort. I don't know. I dig it.
Yeah, I do too. I like it better than what they're using now. Yeah, definitely.
And really, I mean, the Rockies are a team that in their entire existence have never changed. I mean, they've changed between vests and not vests and, you know, the brims of their hat, and they've lightened up the purple here and there. But the Rockies have been the Rockies in pretty much that aesthetic for a very long time. So I wouldn't be against them kind of doing something.
And they really do need to shake it up because I've always thought the Rockies kind of looked a bit
boring.
They're bland. Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very bland.
But they are a good example, and we've talked about this before, where baseball, the Diamondbacks did it last year, but it's pretty tough to mess up a baseball uniform. I always considered the Rockies to have one of the worst uniforms in baseball, but it's not a horrible uniform. The worst thing you can accuse it of is being not terribly interesting. But it's not ghastly ugly like, say, Tampa Bay's football uniforms or the Diamondbacks, those things that they came up with last year. But you know what I mean? But I think you should lose the pinstripes and go with something different.
Yeah, lose the pinstripes and I think turn into the purple a little bit more. Like that's
definitely
unique among baseball.
Yep.
And they really relegate it to just really the arm patch and then the
two
inside the CR and then the alternate jersey, but
two 90s teams, the Marlins and the Rockies, you know, started off with, you know, vibrant purple and vibrant teal, and then eventually both of them just kind of became the White Sox.
Yeah. That's what the Rockies remind me of most. This look in particular, anyway, are the White Sox. Very, very similar. You've got just a dash of purple in there to differentiate between them, but other than
that. Only, like, with the White Sox, it's like, that's their look, whereas, you know, the Rockies should be wearing more purple, but they're not.
I agree. Yeah, remember the green Tampa Bay uniforms that only lasted a year or two? Go that route where you emphasize the purple in the same way that Tampa Bay emphasized the green in their old set before they switched to the current Padres uniforms.
Which were great.
Yeah.
Those green Rays uniforms were solid.
I thought they were really good. It's a unique color scheme to baseball, which I like. It's not just another red, white, or blue, and they went from what I thought was a pretty solid and unique look to looking like the Padres.
Well, then the Padres saw what the Rays did and said, we can outbland that.
Yeah, we can
and
make ours just, way more dumped, boring than those. Come on.
And then they dumped the yellow. That yellow was too flashy for us.
Yeah.
It's opening day. You're in the Tampa area, and they're playing the Yankees.
Yes.
What have you seen more of?
Oh,
in the Tampa area,
Yankees.
More Yankee stuff or Rays stuff?
I can answer that for you, and I'm not. I haven't been into Tampa in 10 years.
Oh, Yankees! Oh. I haven't seen a lot of Yankees stuff, but I've definitely seen a couple caps here and there. Whereas Yeah, not all that much Rays stuff, honestly.
I don't know why they put teams in Florida. And if you're going to do it, do one. And Miami was probably the better bet of the two, and that was a terrible bet to begin with. But a team in Tampa Bay, in the Tampa Bay area.
At least the Marlins have justified their existence with a couple World Series wins. They're not a complete waste of a franchise. What have the Rays ever brought anyone?
They went to the World Series. 2008.
Yeah, they lost.
Well, yeah, they got there.
Wade Boggs had his 3,000th hit.
Yeah, a home run, by the way, at the Sam's Club there in St. Petersburg. Yeah. And they had...
Wasn't that the case that made them, like, completely rewrite the Hall of Fame rules for, like, what cap the guy wears? Because, like, the Rays try to, like, sneak themselves into the Hall of Fame by...
I don't remember.
Writing it in. Like, it was in Wade Boggs' contract when he signed with them that he'd go in as a Tampa Bay Ray, and then the Hall of Fame had to step and go, no.
I don't think he was the guy. There was a player, though, that there was a lot of debate about which cap he would wear, and after all that took place, they decided that they would make the decision on which cap he wore and took it out of the player's hands, which probably isn't the worst idea that the Hall of Fame ever had.
But I do remember Wade Boggs had, like, this contract where, like, when he signed for the Rays were like, so... when you go into the hall, you're going to be wearing a Rays cap, and the Hall of Fame was particularly happy about that.
He's in a Red Sox cap. That's all he could ever have gone in as. I mean, you could maybe make a little bit of an argument for a Yankees cap, but no, that guy is a Boston Red Sox.
I was going to say Red Sox, maybe Yankees, but not the Rays.
Not the Rays, most definitely not.
I think his numbers retired by the Rays, actually.
Oh, God, really?
Probably.
I remember seeing...
he played one season there, or two, maybe.
I think I remember seeing a banner years and years ago when I actually was in... actually went to a Rays game in Tampa. Well, not Tampa, because it's not in Tampa. But I was there watching the Jays play, and I think I remember seeing, like, some kind of pennant for Wade Boggs' number. And, you know...
Well... Anyway, so
you said something there, Greg, that I was kind of interested.
Okay.
So you don't think that they should have put any teams in Florida?
No, I don't.
What about Arizona? The Diamondbacks actually had a pretty good following, from what I could tell.
I think Arizona's a better bet, but Florida last year, at opening day last year, I mean, no one, literally no one, gave a shit. I mean, it was like nothing was even happening. I think it was a bad idea to put a team in Florida because spring training, that's where the baseball is in Florida. And I don't know if you've been there in the summer, Zach, but Mike and I can both attest to this. You don't want to go to an outdoor ball game down there in July.
No. I've been there once in Orlando and, like, oh, my God, I walked into a wall of water.
Yeah, and it's no fun.
Yeah.
I don't care how nice the damn dome is at either place. It's no fun going to watch baseball all the time indoors. You're never going to get a baseball game in Florida from basically the middle of May through the end of the season where the dome's ever going to be open. So you're constantly going to be inside. That's not baseball. And that's why it doesn't work down there. Not to mention, most of the people that live there are from somewhere else, and they have their own teams. And, no, I just thought it was a bad idea from the start. And when they were talking contraction, I thought, you know, get rid of the two Florida teams, we'll be fine.
I saw a story, and apparently this is a regular thing the Rays do, where they try to get the transplants on board by saying, like, if you show up at a game wearing another team's hat, you can trade it in and they'll give you a Rays cap.
Well, see, you shouldn't have to do that kind of shit.
They don't need to do that kind of Bush League stuff, but they do, and it's a shame.
Well, Zach, I'll ask you, do you think that baseball would work better in, say, Portland, Oregon, or St. Petersburg, Florida? I mean, I know there's a lot of baseball on the West Coast. You got the Mariners and the five California teams,
yeah.
But...
I wouldn't mind seeing Portland get a team. I'd be okay with that.
Or, but like, say, Charlotte, North Carolina. Because now, if you want to talk about an area that really doesn't have much coverage for baseball, Charlotte.
Don't they really support their local team? Like, the Charlotte Knights are pretty well supported, aren't they?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Instead of having just the now it's just the Blue Jays, but I think Vancouver would have been a much better market for a major league team than St. Petersburg. I never liked the idea of putting a team in Florida from the start. I think hockey, in the long run, has a much better chance of succeeding in those two markets than baseball ever will.
How much longer do you really give the Rays in Tampa?
I don't know.
Because you would think that, I mean, I guess it's kind of like a Coyotes in Arizona type thing where it's like they're just going to be there until they're not at yeah. some point. I don't know.
You don't think
MLB is probably more likely to relocate than expand, right?
Definitely.
Baseball is going to be 32 teams. They
no
can
way.
Barely field them. There's some teams that can't
get the
starting rotation.
The commissioner has talked about expansion.
No.
I know, but that's like we talk – expansion is probably bad for the NHL too, but it'd be even worse for baseball. Like,
yeah,
bad baseball players.
Right. You can't do it with baseball right now. And
remember the Astros a few years back? Imagine like two more mid-2000s Astros.
Well,
teams.
You got to remember the Astros, though, that was planned and it worked out well for them. We even talked about it like the second year into it. I said, these guys are going to be good in a year or two. Just wait and see. But you're right. Expanding in baseball, I think expanding in any of the sports right now is a horrible idea. I don't care which one. Even the NFL, I think it's a bad idea because there's nowhere to put anybody.
Honestly, 30 teams is the uppermost limit for almost every league but the NFL, who can get away with 32 just because it's the NFL, but everyone else. But
don't you think, though, that the NFL would be a little bit better off if say, we dropped, I don't know, Jacksonville and,
Cleveland?
Well, yeah, you can make the argument, that's for certain.
Maybe, but I think, yeah, you do have the really bad teams, but I think you're going to have that even if you had 30. Still going to have bad teams.
Say you contracted Jacksonville and Carolina. Would the Browns really be any better off?
Probably not, but you can only do so much. I mean, you've still got to have people that know how to push the right buttons, and until the Browns get that. But with baseball and I think hockey too in the NBA, the NFL can pull it off because it's the NFL. And they can prop up those two teams to some extent. But the other three got no business expanding. And I think they could all three stand to lose a few teams. So, no, baseball is not going to expand. And I think Rob Manfred's smart enough to know that would be a horrible, horrible idea.
Well,
when you've got teams, you can make an argument. You got to find somewhere to put Oakland. Okay, they're not going to get a new stadium, and they can't keep playing in that shithole that they're in now. So you got to find somewhere in Oakland. Portland's a good spot. You've got the Rays, like Zach said. I mean, how much longer can we go on with them playing in a Costco? And I'm going to tell you something. That is the most miserable baseball experience you will ever have in your life. Going to a game at that place, it's horrible.
I agree. It is an absolute disaster. It is a terrible time, but. I think the Rays' saving grace, what's keeping them in it is the fact that there just isn't a place to put them. Like, you think, okay, where are you going to move the Rays to? There's nowhere.
Right, which is the perfect area.
There's not like a big groundswell to move anybody anywhere, and so they're going to be there until they're not.
Yeah.
Like I said before, like, with the Coyotes, at least there's like some sort of pressure, like, you guys need to turn your shit around or there are places to put you. With the Rays, it's like, even if they continue to get 10,000 people a game for perpetuity, there's nowhere, like, you say, oh, well, Portland's a great place, or Vancouver's a great place. Even Montreal is the only place that keeps being brought up, but there's not any real...
You've got to have a place for them to play, and that's the issue.
And there's no place in Portland, there's no place in Charlotte, there's no place in Vancouver or Montreal.
Portland and Vancouver both have minor league teams, but you can't move a major league team to a park that holds 13,000 people.
No,
you could.
No.
But they're not going to.
And honestly, I mean, if the Rays just moved to Clearwater and played out of the Thresher Stadium, it would probably be better for them.
Definitely. Have you been to that stadium?
No, but I've driven past it a few times, and damn is it nice.
It is one of the best stadiums you'll ever go to, period. And I'm talking like all over baseball. It's great.
But there's just no place to put them. I mean, you mentioned, Greg, like, oh, Montreal says they've satisfied all of baseball's requirements except the stadium. That's a pretty big requirement that
right.
you kind of have to get around to. And you know what? If Montreal got together like a stadium, if they said we will build this, or even if they started building it even without a team – then okay, then you've got pressure on the Rays. Then you start saying, okay, figure it out, or we're moving here. But until that happens, there's no impetus to move the Rays because there's nowhere to move them to.
No, and they've had some really, really nice stadium proposals, but, you know, obviously the team wants the city to pay for it. St. Petersburg is like, you know, stuff it, we're not paying for it, and here we are. And
also,
like you said, there's no carrot to dangle out there that we might go elsewhere, because they know they're not.
Also, don't they have some ridiculous lease in that Costco too? It's like
I don't know about any of that. This is what I know about the Costco experience. Vladimir Guerrero is one of my all-time favorite players ever. I specifically went to a game because they were playing the Angels and I wanted to see him play. I sat in right field because I wanted to be where Vlad was playing. And with all of that going on and these great seats that used to be in an airliner, because those were the good upgrade seats, you could sit in the airliner seats instead of a plastic. All of that, and it was still like by the fifth inning, I'm like, can we just go? And this is me talking. I mean, you guys know I love baseball. I love baseball in person. My favorite player right in front of me. And by the fifth inning, I'm like, can we just get the hell out of here? It was that fucking miserable of a place to see a game.
I went to a couple Rays games last summer after I moved down. And I was told going in that, oh, they've made some improvements since the last time you've been here. They've put some I was told, oh, they did this cool thing where they put stingray tanks in like the outfield wall. And I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. And then it's like these dinky little high school aquarium tanks that you could barely see unless you're looking for them. I'm like, those Rays look miserable.
That's the thing too. I mean, I don't know, you know, what the mental capacity of a fish is, but if they're able to convey any kind of emotion, those Rays were conveying like, we are fucking miserable in here. You guys think it's bad for you. Look at us. That's what I got out of seeing those poor bastards.
For the first time in my life, I was born in 1990. The Red Wings started their streak in the 89-90 season. So for the first time in my life, the Detroit Red Wings are not going to be a part of Stanley Cup playoffs.
Love them or hate them, that's pretty damn impressive run they were on there.
For the first time since I was 3 years old.
Wow.
The Red Wings are not in the playoffs, and it is glorious.
And see, and like I said before, I remember back when making the playoffs to them would have been such a huge deal. Like, oh my God, we made the playoffs! Forget winning a cup. No.
I believe I refer to it as our long national nightmare being over.
Well, you know, talked about the Astros.
25 years of tyranny. All along the same lines.
About the Astros in that last segment, Mike, and the Red Wings for the longest time, when I first started following hockey, they were the Houston Astros that you were referring to. They were horrible. Just bad. And then they got Yzerman and a few other players, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, they might get pretty good. And well, and then here we are. 25 years later?
This was 27 years, 25 seasons.
Because you did the lockout and then this season.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a very interesting season in sports anyway, with a lot of crazy things happening. I mean, my Columbus Blue Jackets have, the third best record in the NHL? So nothing surprises me anymore.
Absolutely bonkers. And to make it even sweeter for me, the Red Wings, the game they lost, they were eliminated from playoff contention with that loss, plus a Maple Leafs and the Maple Leafs and Bruins both winning. So in a way, the Maple Leafs helped eliminate and end the Red Wings playoff streak. So suck it, Detroit.
No, it's such a weird thought. You think, well, it's eventually going to end, and you know that they've been bad all year, but then when finally someone says the Detroit Red Wings won't be in the playoffs, you're like, oh, my God.
I thought they were still going to make it this year. I said it way back at the beginning of the season when we did our preview. I said, yeah, I think they'll still get there. They'd be very good, but I figured they'd find a way to climb into it. But no.
The only thing that could have made it better was if their point total would have been good enough to make it if they were in the West.
Yeah,
that would have been sweet.
Yeah. Even if they were in the West, they would have been eliminated by now, too.
Ah, too bad.
Because, you know, the West is already set because after winning the Stanley Cup twice in three seasons, the Los Angeles Kings have now missed the playoffs twice in three seasons.
They're out, too, this year, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at this.
Yeah. The playoffs are just a little bit less evil this season. Like, I mean, you got your Blackhawks, but, you know, they're just going to be who they are. And
they're probably going to win it all now that Minnesota has completely fallen apart. At yeah. exactly the wrong time to start falling apart.
Well, don't tell the Wild fans that, Mike. I mean, they're still a good team. They'll have you know.
We're still a good team. We're just playing badly. Could you imagine if we weren't playing badly, we'd be good?
How long have they been playing badly?
Oh, like they can't score. A month and a half.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. Two weeks ago, okay, these things happen. A month and a half, nah, they're fucked.
A month and a half ago, they were up 7 points on Chicago for first place. And then they're now down 7 points to Chicago.
Wow.
They can't score, and Devin Dubnyk has been ground into a fine powder by being overworked. So good job, Bruce Boudreau.
Well,
they're 3-5-2 in their last 10.
What are they? Do you know like what they are, say, their last 20?
Not offhand.
I'm just saying that sometimes you kind of stumble into the playoffs. You get on a bad streak the last couple of weeks in any sport. But if you're on a month and a half run where you're not very good, you're not going to turn that around.
Well, before, I think 2 weeks ago, they broke – was it 2 weeks ago? A week ago? 2 weeks ago. They broke a 7-game losing streak.
Ooh.
They're just not playing all that well right now.
And again, their goalie is basically powder because they over-rely on Devin Dubnyk, and that's not a good position to be in. And here's the thing. I used to like the Wild because I like their logo, and I remember I even got their white jersey for their inaugural season because I just thought it was really cool. And generally speaking, I like Minnesota because it's like kind of like it's the closest America gets to being Canada.
Yeah, this is true.
So I always liked Minnesota, but you know what, Wild fans? You guys have turned into a bunch of dicks this
season.
Not
to mention, I don't know if it's happened yet or it's coming up in one of these last few games. They're going to pretend to be the North Stars for a day?
Yes. Fuck you. You're not the North Stars.
Yeah, no. If anybody's going to do that, it should be Dallas doing that.
Right. For warm-ups of one of their final games, they're going to wear North Stars jerseys. They're not going to wear them during the game just for warm-ups, but they're celebrating 50 years of Minnesota hockey. Well, here's the problem, Wild. It hasn't been 50 years of Minnesota hockey.
Mm-hmm.
They left because you Minnesota professional hockey fans didn't want to show up to watch a team that had made the Stanley Cup final like a year
twice.
Before.
Yeah, they were pretty good for a time there, weren't they, the North Stars?
Yeah, and it was like at the end of the tenure. Right before they left, they were really good. People just didn't care to go watch them. They went to Dallas and won a Stanley Cup.
And that's the thing that a lot of people, you know, don't get is like the Dallas Stars were a pretty good team for a long time in the mid-90s and then, you know, early 2000s. That was a direct carryover from like the really good hockey they were playing at their end of their Minnesota tenure. Like, this was a really good team that was eventually going to win a Stanley Cup.
Well, it's kind of a bullshit move to call yourself the state of hockey when you've got that on your resume, don't you think?
Well, it's because they just love their high school hockey too much, Greg.
Oh, okay.
That honestly is the reason. Like, if Minnesota hockey fans gave enough of a shit about the North Stars as they pretend they do now, then they never would have left. Yeah.
Well, like, it would be like if the Dallas Cowboys left Texas because people were watching too much high school football.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's the same idea. And it's just it's stupid.
And it is really stupid because in Canada, right, the equivalent of high school hockey is junior hockey in Canada. And we love ourselves some junior hockey in Canada. We absolutely do. I will proudly admit to being a lifelong dedicated Kitchener Rangers fan. But no NHL team in Canada's hurting because the local junior team's just too gosh darn popular. That's just not how it works.
Well, don't the Pacers kind of have that same kind of problem in the NBA? Because you know Indiana's so basketball crazy, but do they give a shit about the Pacers? I really don't know. But I always had the impression they haven't moved, but I mean, I've always had the impression that the love of high school basketball and Bob Knight Indiana Hoosier basketball doesn't carry over to NBA Indiana Pacers basketball.
All I know is that Ted Cruz lost the Indiana primary because because he called it a basketball ring.
Yeah, well, that was a bad idea. He probably would have lost the Ohio primary for that, too. I don't think that was... you couldn't have picked the worst place to do that, but it wasn't going to go over well anywhere. But, yeah, so the Wild, I think, going back to what we were talking about, if they're on that bad of a run for 6 weeks, that's something you usually don't pull out of.
Yeah,
at least in my experience. Not doing well.
Yeah, St. Louis is excited to pull the Wild in the first round if they can get it.
Oh, let's not get too carried away, guys.
Well, they can win the first round. They still
have the first. I know, but I this year, who am I kidding? I'll be right back there on that Blues bandwagon again.
This is going to be the year, guys.
This is going to be the year. This is going to be the year.
I can feel it in my bones.
This is going to be the year. Look at your Anaheim Ducks, man.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Surge in the first place for the moment.
Weren't we looking at them as a possible non-playoff participant this season, early on?
Earlier, but they righted the ship pretty quickly. They've been good. They've been really good recently. Like, they're hitting their stride at the right time.
That's what you want.
Things are really falling into place right now. I like how they're going. Confident in the goaltending. The defense is fine. They're finding goal scoring. Getzlaf woke up, finally. And, you know, things are going really well. It's just a matter of how the last couple days shake out, because the Pacific Division is so tight that, you know, they're either going to be playing Calgary or maybe even playing Nashville or playing Edmonton, maybe even playing San Jose. There's so many different options for them in the final couple games that
Well, it should be an interesting Stanley Cup playoff run, just because it always is. Look at my Columbus Blue Jackets. They would be 1 point from having the best record in the West. Thanks, fucking Detroit. Thanks for that.
I think things are tight. But the real NHL news, of course.
The Maple Leafs are probably going to make the playoffs. Woo!
That's cool.
Yeah, that too.
You know, they're just young and dumb enough to actually pull off an upset, Mike.
That's what I'm. Like I said to Zach while we were kind of on break, I'm starting to get to the point where I'm willing to let myself feel hope that maybe they'll make it.
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to make it. I think they're. Well, I guess Tampa's still within shooting distance of any of these 91 point teams, but. I think there's things are set. Well, I don't think Tampa.
You've got what? You guys have got 5 games left. Tampa's got 4. So you're up.
Well, and Toronto's winning right now, so Toronto will be at 93 points by the end of the night.
I think you're in good shape, Mike. And even I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I know it sucks that you want to get there now, but even if they come this close, that's still way better than anybody thought they were going to be this year.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Regardless of what happened, regardless of how the Leafs end finish things up, I will be very happy with.
They'll make it, and then they'll draw Toronto. They'll draw Ottawa or Boston in the first round, and that's a winnable series for them. So they'll have a shot. They'll have some fun.
Like I said, man, they're just young and dumb enough to pull it off. Not the cup, obviously, but I think they can get a first-round win if they get the right matchup. What was I going to say? I forget. Okay, anyway, so we want to move on to the big news.
The big news, of course, is that, you know, we've been talking about it for a long time, but the NHL made it official that they will not be sending players to the 2018 Winter Olympic Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea, because... Oh, there's a break in the season. The owners get no money from it, and we the insurance costs, and you know, that's my Gary Bettman.
Not far off from what he actually said. So yeah. Here we go.
That's stupid.
Yeah, the players want to go. The fans,
the coaches want to go.
I mean, that's just it's one thing. He's talking like all NHL players, right? Not just U.S. or Canadian, but everybody.
NHL players will not be allowed to participate.
Well, you just completely fucked the Winter Olympics, basically. The hockey part of it, anyway. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what he was counting on, too, that because hockey is such a linchpin of the Winter Olympics, it's, I think by numbers, it's like the second or third most popular sport.
I know. Yeah, it has to be.
And he was hoping that at some point by playing hardball with them, that the IOC or the IIHF would eventually just bend to their wills and give them whatever they wanted, but both of them didn't. And so Gary Bettman's just taking his puck and going home.
because regardless of what Gary Bettman thinks, he's still a fucking putz with a running a joke of an operation that is the NHL. And it doesn't matter if the Olympics think they need him.
It's not even about the Olympics needing him. He needs the Olympics.
Yeah, well, he does.
That's their argument. What the league was saying is that they don't see any benefits from the games. They don't see any direct benefit. They make zero money, and they have to stop the season for 2.5-3 weeks.
It's not about making money. It's about like letting people see exposure. Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid and those guys on a game that people are actually watching.
Well, I mean, and
let's be honest about it. Most of the United States isn't going to see McDavid playing against the Canucks. You know, you got to get these guys out there where everybody can see them play.
And I don't even – the argument that they lose money because of the Olympics made no sense to me either, because it's not like they're shortening the season.
No.
You still get all 82 games.
Yeah.
The NHL owners would not make any less money because they have to take a two-week break.
Mm-hmm. Okay, who gets the merchandising? Like, say if we'll use Connor McDavid as an example. And you sell his Olympic hockey jersey. Who gets the money from that?
I think that's Hockey Canada, yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure because I was going to say that's another revenue stream you're giving up. But I'm sure they get a cut of it, right?
NHL gets $0.
Okay, well, whatever. The point being, though, is this is just a dumb, dumb thing to do because the NHL needs the Olympics way more than the other way around. But what does this mean for Olympic hockey?
It's going to be there. They're just going to have to get the best non-NHL players. I don't know if that means that if when they say no NHL players, if that also blocks the AHL and the ECHL. But I know the KHL is going to let their players go. I would assume most of the European leagues would let the players go. There have been threats by guys in the NHL, like Alex Ovechkin, that said, you know, I'm still going to go anyway. So we'll see how that goes. But for the U.S. and Canadian teams, you're probably going to get a group of junior and college all-stars.
Mm-hmm. Or at best, a bunch of, you know, quadruple A guys from the AHL that are, you know, it's... Right.
If they let those guys go, then you'll probably get some of those, and you'll get some of the top college players mixed in with the minor league guys. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking, that the European teams and the guys from Russia and stuff are going to be, they're not going to go for this. That's probably a little more palatable to the American and Canadian players. I don't know, maybe not very much more palatable, but the other guys, that's a big deal to them.
The American and Canadian guys still said they want to go.
Yeah.
It does mean a lot more to the Europeans.
Right.
Sure.
And if, I mean, what's, okay, so let's say that they, like Ovechkin says, fuck you, I'm going. So then where are we now? You know?
He would probably get suspended.
That's smart too.
But his owner, the owner of the Capitals, Ted Leonsis, has basically said in previous Olympics when this was a threat that if Alex wants to go, we're going to let him go.
I just don't get it.
But so that opens up a weird situation. Gary Bettman comes out, says we're not letting anyone go. The Alex Ovechkin says I'm going to go anyway. Capitals owner says, hey, if Alex wants to go, we're going to let him go. So if Alex Ovechkin goes,
right,
and the team doesn't suspend him for it, then Gary Bettman looks like an even bigger putz than he looks like now.
Well, that's probably part of the other thing is that this is something that he can say when he's not actually letting it. It's not up to him. But now you're in a situation where, okay, you said you were going to let him go. Are you actually going to let him go? Are you going to do that? Are you going to let the players go if they want to go? Mm-hmm. Because really the thing, and one of the things the NHL was trying to fight for, was insurance on the contracts. And so if Ovechkin goes over, he's not protected by anything. If he goes and gets injured, the Leonsis and the Capitals will get nothing for that. They get no reimbursement.
Well, that's a fair concern to have. I understand that. But there's got to be a way to work that out.
But that's how it is now. They were giving him some sort of protection, but they weren't giving the league enough of what they wanted. And the league was also looking for the IOC and the IIHF to pay for the travel to Korea for the players.
Why? Because the players pay for it right now? Or leagues? Run that by me again. So who pays for them to go right now?
Well, that's the thing. There wasn't an agreement in place. There had been for the past couple Olympics, and they paid some of it, and I don't know if they paid all the transportation or some of it or whatever, but basically the NHL wanted more. They basically wanted the IOC and the International Hockey Federation to pay for it all and make the NHL responsible for none of it. Because they're not getting any benefit from it financially, they wanted everybody else to pay for it because it's not their problem, basically.
Well, I think that's fair too. If you want the U.S. players to play for the U.S. Olympic hockey team, then like say the New York Rangers and the Red Wings and the Blues shouldn't have to foot the bill for that. I mean, we're already giving you our players for 2 weeks. Why would we have to pay anything? So that I get from the NHL side, but from a PR standpoint, this is just talk about pulling out a gun and shooting two of your toes off. Just a bad, bad idea. Mm-hmm. And I thought the argument was going to be because we want to prop up the World Cup of Hockey or whatever that thing
is. I think that is an unstated part of it. I mean, it is no coincidence that they started the World Cup of Hockey back up again so close to this decision.
Let's be honest, that's not going to replace Olympic hockey. It's just
Of course not.
No.
I mean, it's not, but it's an Olympic international competition with NHL players that the NHL makes money off of.
Yeah, and then no Correct. One gives a shit about. You know?
But they make money.
Well, yeah, okay, that's fine, but you've got to think long term. You've got to think big picture for your league, and it doesn't sound like anybody's doing that. Oh, I know.
Gary Bettman. Okay, that's funny. That's funny.
I just don't understand it. I mean, if an idiot like me can sit here, who knows, you know, like I'm just about half smart enough to maybe know a little bit about hockey, can figure this shit out, what the hell's going on up there at that place?
Hockey is a fantastic sport that at its highest level in North America is run by idiots.
It's true. I mean, I wish I could say, okay, we're overstating it for effect, but I don't think we are.
There's a reason why a lot of people consider hockey fans to be some of the most loyal in pro sports.
They definitely are.
We love this game so much that we're willing to deal with all of this nonsense that the NHL puts out on a yearly basis. That we stick with it, and we care about the sport that much, the game that much, that we can go through all the garbage that the NHL puts us through, which is a lot.
You can also only screw with somebody for so long, no matter how dedicated or how loyal they are, before you just don't put up with it anymore. Now, I don't know how close the NHL is getting to that point, but pulling boneheaded stunts like this, it's just another step in that direction.
I just hope that from a PR perspective, this just completely, like, embarrasses them, because okay, the NBA is never going to pull its players from the Summer Olympics.
There's not a direct conflict with the NBA.
I don't think that Olympic basketball is nearly as important to the Summer Olympics as hockey is to the Winter Olympics. I'm not saying it's not. It's not a big deal, but people are going to watch the Olympics. I mean, hockey is a big part of the Winter Olympics. Figure skating and hockey and everything else, basically.
Right. In the summer, you've got swimming. You've got gymnastics,
mm-hmm. track and field, yeah.
Those are all, like, the basketball ends up being big because of the NBA players over there, but I agree. There's more high-profile things when it comes to the summer games.
Don't teams get a one-week bye week now in the NHL?
Yep.
A simple solution. We won't do the bye weeks next year, and everybody's just off for those 2 weeks, and there you go. Problem solved. Simple as that.
But the IOC was rude to Gary, Greg, and that needs to be accounted for.
Gary's got to get over himself.
NHL. Only in the goddamn NHL. This is what
yep.
we deal with.
Yep.
Quite a weekend in our beloved little tournament, guys.
Bullshit.
This was the greatest moment in the history of the entire tournament.
Well, you know, and I thought about this, and if you remember, in a year that had the Cavaliers finally break the Cleveland title curse, the Blues finally beating the Blackhawks in the playoffs, the Sharks making the finals, the Cubs winning the World Series, it all started with Chip Mariachi Band. Now, here's the question. Mike finally made it to the championship round. Do I think kind of like put the bow on this year of whatever you want to call it? The question is, did he win the championship or not? Because we had a Final Four matchup that I want to go back to, and a Chimp Biker Gang, Darwin's Disciples, had absolutely no trouble at all with Andy's Endless Tacos. Blew right by him like it was no big deal. Yeah,
I think the final score. I thought that would have been a little closer.
It was early.
Of the two matchups, I thought that was going to be the one that was going to be super close.
I did too.
Not Moose Leg Mensch.
The final score in Chimps versus Endless Tacos, I believe the Chimps won by 9. It was 27-19. They won by 8. Okay. Now, the thing about the Mensch on the bench versus the Sacred Moose Leg of Flin Flon, Manitoba, this match, I'm not kidding you, I would check it every couple of hours. It was tied literally almost all the time. Maybe the Moose Leg would move out to a lead of a point or so, and then the Mensch would catch up. And I believe it was at about 11 o'clock on the night the voting was closing. I sent both of you a text. I said, this thing is in a flat-footed tie. That was my little not-so-subtle hint as to say, if either one of you have got people that can vote, you might want to get them on the case. And it ended up that Team Israel's World Baseball Classic mascot, the Mensch on the bench, got 2 votes with 11 minutes to go to win the thing. That's how close it was. And the biggest upset, I believe, in GTOV history took place. And the Moose Leg
went home. Conspiracy, lies, deceit, demand a recount. Revote!
So, Mike, you finally broke through. You made it to the title round.
Woo! The Mensch on the bench. I actually did not know this when I put him on, when I put him in my bracket, but the Mensch on the bench actually predates Team Israel adopting him as the World Series mascot. He's actually a children's book character who helps explain the story of Hanukkah. And so that means that miracle upsets are part of who he is.
Before we get to the score and all that with this epic matchup between – and if you look at the matchup, oh, my God, it's got so many different levels to it. Someone pointed this out. It's Darwinism versus one of the oldest religions in the world. You've got that going. You've got Mike breaking through as a 5 seed all the way to the championship, taking on what I think everyone would agree is the toughest conference in the entire Glorious Tournament of Victory bracket in the Mighty Chimp Conference. You've got that. I thought that Moose Leg was just going to run away with this whole thing. I thought there was
no
way.
It was destiny.
Yeah.
Destiny. Hi.
Zach. Yeah. This is why we play the game.
I really did. I mean, from the minute
that we've done this for 5 years.
I was as stunned as anybody because I would have thought I really thought that neither of the two Final Four matches were going to be very close. I thought that of Andy's entrance, I thought Endless Tacos was one of the weaker ones, even though it was the number one seed. I thought, okay, the Chimps are going to have no trouble with this, but I thought the Moose Leg was just going to just mop the floor with the Mensch on the bench. I could not get over how close it was. Just amazing to me. 24-22 win. The Moose Leg goes down to defeat in what I think is the most stunning upset in the history of this tournament. I don't even know what to say about it. I'm just stunned because I when I saw the matchups, too, because I do a rotation where each region, we go through a rotation where, like, I play Mike 1 year in the, you know, and then we just rotate it through so that we don't always get the same matchups. And I was, like, relieved. I'm like, okay, I don't have to take on the Moose Leg in the Final Four, so the Chimps still have a chance. But I was just convinced that, like, okay, we're going to probably get past the Endless Tacos, but the Moose Leg is just going to just beat our asses, and that's going to be the end of it.
I thought Moose Leg Chimps was going to be such a drag-out match.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been, like, the epitome of the GTOV, like, of what the GTOV has become. A crazy, weird Canadian-type thing versus the Chimp Conference. I thought, that's like...
I'll tell you what could have been a...
Pay-per-view numbers.
I can tell you what I think might have been a deciding factor in the Moose Leg Mensch contest, and that was the fact that I think, sadly, there just wasn't enough internet in Flin Flon to go around to get as many people online to vote, you know, as they perhaps liked. Like, you got to figure that maybe you could, you know, maybe you got like 5 people in Flin Flon who were really excited to go on and vote for the Moose Leg. But once those 5 people logged on, you know, the internet was probably just down for at least 2 days. I'm sure that cost them some votes.
When did we close the voting?
The voting started on it ran for a little over 48 hours.
Right, but when did it close?
Midnight would have been midnight Thursday night, or, you know, 12:01 a.m. Friday morning, whichever way, or see, Saturday, Friday.
See, if we had let it go into the Sabbath, then the Moose Leg could have gotten an extra day. Anyway.
But on to the championship match, which pitted number 4 seed Chimp Biker Gang, Darwin's Disciples, against the surprise of the tournament, the Mensch on the Bench, in a championship that, well, frankly, no one saw coming. Let me run off a few numbers here before we get started. Mm-hmm. You've got the Chimp Conference has made the Final Four every single year of the Glorious Tournament of Victory. I believe this was the Chimp Conference's third appearance in the championship game, second in a row. So, Mike, you were up against it. You're playing, mm-hmm. like I said, probably the best conference in the Glorious Tournament of Victory. So what do you think? How did it play out?
Part of me wants to say that the Chimps getting the blowout seems like the logical thing.
Keep in mind the Chimps never – they won by at least 8 points every single round.
Yeah. The thing with the Chimps, and as we – I think we brought this up before – had the Chimp Biker Gang just been Chimp Biker Gang and not Chimp Biker Gang Darwin's Disciples, then we would have had, I think the Chimp Biker Gang might have met an end already. Maybe it would get to the Final Four, but I don't know if it would have the same sort of gravitas as Darwin's Disciples does. But you have that. But at the same time, there's no way to have predicted that the Mensch on the Bench would be where it is, that it would have hung toe-to-toe with the Moose Leg, that it could pull off that buzzer-beater upset.
I am going to say that the Mensch on the Bench seems to be getting a lot of love on the boards.
This is true.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, like, the Cinderella finally makes it and everyone's going to get behind it.
Yep.
But at the same time, I worry, like, was the Moose Leg such an emotional high getting past the Moose Leg? Was it so improbable that, you know, at this point, it's just spent? At this point, everything is just house money. And once you start thinking that you're playing of house money, maybe you're not. Maybe the Mensch isn't as sharp as he was. Maybe he's just happy to be there and it just doesn't work. Like, these are the concerns that I had about the Mensch's chances.
Well, as I said before, it's been a year of the improbable taking place in sports all throughout the calendar year. And if you're a normal person and doing things right, your calendar begins with the glorious.
The impossible has happened.
Right. Your sports calendar starts with the Glorious Tournament of Victory, and it ends with the Glorious Tournament of Victory Championship. And that's the way the sports calendar works. So in this year of upsets and improbable championships and all that, did Mensch on the Bench come through and finally deliver Mike his first Glorious Tournament of Victory Championship, which would be poetic considering all the other stuff we've had happen throughout the year? Or did, like Mike said, beating the Moose Leg just take it all out of the Mensch on the Bench, and there's just nothing left to take on the Mighty Chimp Conference?
I gotta look, I'm not gonna lie, I got my doubts, but there are a few things to consider. Again, story of Hanukkah, which is what birthed the Mensch on the Bench. Miracle upsets against impossible odds are part of who he is. Two, he has defied everyone's doubts, including my own, just to get this far. People have been betting against him all tournament, and he keeps on winning. And three, not only is he my first entry in the finals, I have a special fondness for him as perhaps a ethnically insensitive caricature of my religion. But
we still haven't established that yet.
Which I think has worked to his advantage. The confusion where people aren't sure if they are allowed to like him or not has really thrown people through a loop, and I think it's been to his advantage. But all of that aside, I got a ride of the Mensch.
Zach,
I got to believe he did it.
Zach, what do you think?
I voted Chimp because of a spiteful son of a bitch. I don't know. I'm down for a Chimp dynasty. They've been the most dominant conference in the GTOV's history. And, you know, do you want to be the Atlanta Braves, or do you want to be a team that, that, you know, something that makes something of itself? So I go Chimp.
Well, here's what my thought process was as this matchup played out. Or I shouldn't say this matchup, as the tournament played out. My biggest concern was Chimp fatigue. I thought, okay, the Chimps have really been a dominant force throughout this thing, but at some point, the magic's got to wear off. And I thought when they pulled Detroit in the first round, I thought, this is it. I mean, there's just no way. How can you beat Detroit? And they won in a blowout. I said, okay, fine, fair enough. Then they moved on to play, I believe it was the 1974 Winnebago. And I said, okay, that should be an easy win for them. And it was. Then we got the Endless Tacos, and that one was tight. And I thought, oh, this might be it. Maybe the Endless Tacos. And people on the boards were giving the Endless Tacos a lot of love. I thought, okay, this is going to be the one. They're finally going to go down to defeat. And it was tight for a while, and then they blew it out. I thought, okay, well, here we go. Now we've got this Mensch on the bench, and I think this is where the Chimps will finally meet their end. And that's where I was at coming into the final score. Now, before I reveal who won the championship, I will say that I believe this was the biggest blowout in the history of the Glorious Tournament of Victory Championship.
Whoa.
So, with that in mind,
jeez,
with Mike's championship, first one ever, first appearance in the championship game on the line, are you ready for the final score?
Let's do it.
It was an 11-point margin of victory for Team Israel's WBC mascot. Wins in a walk.
Wow.
No problem. Beat the Chimps' asses. Wasn't even close. Never from the start.
Wow.
So congratulations, Mike. You get to take home that trophy.
That's Israel's national.
You did it, Mike.
You did it. You did it in fine fashion, man.
One of us.
Not even, like, running out of gas wasn't even a problem. The poor Chimps didn't know what hit them when they played Mensch on the bench.
Now I've got to actually order a Mensch on the bench doll and take a picture of it next to that Sentinel Prime figure, because that's how this has got to end.
So,
wow. I don't know what to say.
2017.
Mike, how does it feel?
Glorious Tournament of Victory champion, Mensch on the bench, Team Israel's WBC mascot, in a blowout.
I think... It's overwhelming. I think it was a team effort. You know, Menchie just went out there. He kind of did what he had to do. But, you know, everyone got him the puck. And, you know, it was a team effort. And we just got to go play a full 60 minutes.
I got to be honest. I thought if the Chimps have got to lose, I want it to be to the Mensch on the bench. I would have been over the moose leg. I would have said that's expected. But other than the moose leg or Mensch on the bench, I wasn't settling for losing to anybody. So even though my Chimps lost, I'm very happy for you, Mike. It was a well-deserved win. And I think the Mensch on the bench took a hell of a run to get here. I don't remember who he knocked off along the way, but it was some serious competition.
He knocked off the biggest planet ever discovered in the first round. I honestly can't remember who he beat in the second round. I actually have my brackets scribbled on something around here. I'll have to, and then he beat Tom Brady's sex toy, who I thought Tom Brady's sex toy would have beat the match, just because, you know what, that Patriots hate is strong.
Well, not only that, but I thought if there was a thing out of your bracket that was going to make the miracle run, my money was on the Brady sex toy, just because it was doing so well, exceeding expectations every step of the way. Look, and the Mensch was kind of like this fun, okay, this is great, he keeps winning, 5 seed, blah, blah, blah. But all of a sudden, you're going, this thing's legit, man. It's got a shot.
Okay. I'm not going to So the story here is that I actually didn't set – I kind of put together this bracket, and I was actually visiting Jack from basically Geek Show on – I was actually visiting him at the time, and I kind of just had this moment of drunken zen where I kind of was able to fill out my bracket. I kind of been building it up over the past year, but I still had some spots left over, and I kind of just filled it up with some stuff that I thought really were awesome. And I looked at this and I said, you know what? I didn't set out to do it, but I think I made a really good bracket. And I was expecting at least a finals appearance. I thought I had a really strong bracket. I thought that I had some entries that could go all the way. The Mensch was not one of them. If I was going to bet on anything for my bracket, I was betting on the Russell Manitoba goalie beer thief.
Well, that's that.
That's who my money was on.
And don't forget, the Mensch beat Andy Trump Bald Eagle, number one seed.
Andy Trump Bald Eagle, too. You know, I think Zach brought it up. You know, he had a good showing last season, last year, but this year was his year. And I was expecting some good things from some people in my region this year, but the Mensch wasn't one of them, and no one is more shocked than I am. So
we'll wrap up our GTOV coverage for this year with this final question. We've had the goddamn Batman twice in a row. Then we had Roosevelt Stride of War Orca. Chip Mariachi band last year. Is Mensch on the bench? He is pretty much the first totally out of nowhere thing to win it, right? Obviously. I mean, usually it was always like maybe not completely chalk in the final, but it was pretty damn close. Unexpected final. It was always like, maybe a two seed or whatever, but you look at it and go, yeah, this makes sense. This year it was like, what? And, well, here we are.
Yeah, it's just so strange, you know, like we talked about so many times and just didn't expect it to get nearly this far. And you didn't expect it. And right up until the last, I still didn't expect this entry, this entity, this thing to win the GTOV. And, you know, they got into the championship game by the narrowest of margins, but they took their opportunity and ran with it, man.
Yeah.
They did it.
Yep.
It's one of those things where I guess in retrospect, looking back at it, it's kind of like 2004, where the Red Sox, you know, they got past the Yankees with that improbable comeback, and then you think, all right, they got past the Yankees, but do they really have enough left in the tank to win the World Series? But it turned out, you know what? Once you get that far, you're not going to let yourself be denied.
Well, I knew when the first time I checked the score and it was like 9-2, Chimps were down by 7 already. I said, this is not going to be pretty. And it was just like, okay, I'm going to let it run until Monday and we'll see where we're at. And I opened it today and I went, oh, that's rough. Yeah, Chimps got their asses whooped. No other way about it. But they'll be back. So I got to save that so I can use that for the championship picture. But so there you go, guys. The 2017 Glorious Tournament of Victory is in the books. Congratulations, Mike, on your first title.
Thank you. And I guess, you know, in fitting the stereotypical since this guy is a stereotype, in fittingly stereotypical Jewish fashion, one of my first thoughts upon this happening is, God damn it, now I got to spend money to actually buy one of these things.
You got to. He's a champ.
I know. I got to.
Hang him from the Raptors.
We're gonna hang his instead of a championship banner, we'll hang his prayer shawl, his tallit. We'll hang that from the Raptors.
There you go. Okay, and we got nothing else.
To update the stats, you know, Mike has one, Greg has one, Andy has one. I still have two.
That's right.
And back to back too.
Back to back, same entrance. I know, and I've gone from, you know, reusing things. But and Mike, but you will have a returning champion in your bracket next year.
Yeah, Mensch on the bench.
As is part of the bylaws of the Centennial Prime Memorial Region.
Yep, Mensch on the bench will be back. In fact, actually, I thought of another entry. So standing right now for the 2018 Glorious Tournament victory, the top two seeds for the Sentinel Prime Memorial Region of Excellence are already decided. We've already got two entries. Mensch on the bench will be returning at number one. Number two, sneak peek, just for you guys and all of our wonderful listeners. Number two seed in the Sentinel Prime or Region of Excellence in the 2018 Glorious Tournament victory will be InGen's legal team.
What?
Jurassic Park, the company, InGen.
Okay.
Well, think about it.
I'm letting you guys know right now. My 16 spots for my bracket are already filled up. I recently came into some information of the what the fuck is being sold on Amazon conference.
Oh, well, that'll be a good one.
It's been officially decided that the what the fuck is being sold on Amazon conference, the conference tournament, will just be the goddamn Batman Memorial Region next season.
Nice. Okay. That's like the SCN on TV conference, except way better.
There are things.
Are we talking like SkyMall level or even better than that?
I'm guessing
more sex toys. Just thinking off the top of my head.
Well, there's a couple of those things, but like there's a book, an adventure, a field guide. The Stray Shopping Carts of Eastern North America.
Nice.
A guide to field identification.
No way. That doesn't really exist.
Part of me wants to read that now.
Yeah, kind of.
We have the ball lifter, a dog drying bag, look and feel Canadian Instantly Breath Spray.
Oh, well, that was an entry a couple of years ago.
I thought we had that. Okay,
yeah,
so
that was one of mine.
We might have an open spot. So maybe not all 16 spots, but there are quality to be had on this list, my friends.
Well, Mike has upped the ante, as we have seen now. A number 5 seed can take it all the way and come out of nowhere to win this thing, which I'm kind of excited about because the tournament was taking on a bit of a, I don't want to say entirely predictable field, but kind of like you would see the field and go, okay, well, you know that these guys are going to get there. So it was really nice to see something break through that no one expected and win the whole thing. So congratulations again, Mike, on that first win, and we'll see what happens next year. And with that, unless you guys get anything else, we'll call it a night.
Thus concludes another glorious Truman to victory. Ring the gong.
Thanks, everybody who voted and participated. It was a lot of fun, as it always is. And you can still follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, YouTube, and find us on Facebook. And with that, we will see you next time.
See ya.
See ya.